Hello, Audio Boo. Graeme here, Black 73 Cat. Hope you're all well, guys. It is Monday, the 23rd of March, 2015, and it's approximately 11 a.m. How are we all? So, I might have to cut you off because I'm currently waiting for a BT engineer to arrive to upgrade my aging copper phone line to the wonderful magicness of fibre optic. And I should have at least a seven times jump in my broadband speed. I'm currently getting around 10 megs. And I should, by all accounts, be getting a minimum of 70 by the time this goes in. So I'm very excited indeed. I just need to adjust my lapel mic because, as usual, it's in the wrong bloody place and it's really annoying me. That's better. Right, so yesterday was fantastic. Yesterday I finally met the one and only Mr. Daylight Gambler. When we went down, we had a bit of a gathering at Social Hiking HQ and went for a long 10-mile wander in the Northamptonshire countryside, which is very lovely. It's very nice around there, very flat. But very, very lovely. Big skies and open fields, and the weather was amazing. I've actually got a sunburned head. Seriously, I'm sunburned on my baldy bonds. It's quite painful for a March day. I was quite surprised. I think we all were, to be honest. We kind of hoped for decent weather, but yeah, we didn't expect it to be that good. It was absolutely bang on. It was really warm. Lovely blue skies. Just a really, really nice day out. Well, five of us in total, myself and, of course, Phil, Daylight Gambler, and Big Rick, all one word. And I still do that, but Rick doesn't really say all one word anymore. And Adrian at Turbo Stream, and Kate, who isn't on Audio Boo. But yeah, we did about 10 miles, I think, in total, and it was just a really nice, pleasant day out. And I'll tell you what else was really strange as well. Not really strange, because it's kind of normal now, but it's the first time I've actually met Phil face-to-face, and I've met a lot of people off of Audio Boo now, and it never feels awkward. It always feels like you already know the... know that person. It just feels really, really natural. There's no sort of awkwardness or anything. It's just brilliant. I think it's a brilliant thing, this audio stuff. And it's when something like that, like yesterday, happens that you kind of realise, going back to what I've said many times in the past, just about the strength of audio and how good it is at forming relationships, which, you know, I've got relationships formed through Twitter and Facebook and other media with people who I've never actually met, but I don't think that there'd be that sort of naturalness of actually meeting somebody face to face as there is when it's come from an audio community. It's definitely a much more intimate way of interacting without actually being intimate. So yeah, that was really nice. And yeah, it's just I was really pleased to meet Dog. I met Dog, and we saw the carrot field, or the carrot shaped field. Yeah, it was carroty. We saw the wind farm, and yeah, it was great. It's really good when you hear somebody talking as well, and you kind of have a mental picture of these things, and then to actually see them is. In reality it's really good. I love it. But yes, so yeah, good weather, good walk, good company. It was just a belting day out, and really, really, really enjoyed it. So I look forward to doing it again. I think we have another gathering planned for next month, which is good. Brilliant. So happy days. Got back home about 8 o'clock last night after taking a slight detour. I was heading back up the M1, and the thing is, right, I found this a lot when I used to drive like really fast, or drive everything like I'd just nicked it. I was probably very rarely in the inside lane of a motorway. But now that I drive really slowly, I don't honestly, I very rarely, well, I'll put my foot down now, very, very rarely indeed. And so I'm normally like sort of sitting on the speed limit. I've usually got the cruise control or the speed limiter set, so I can't go faster. And because the car's automatic as well, I just like switch off, just put my foot down and go. And just all I've got to do is point it in the way I want it to go. But because I tend to just sit there and let all the loonies whiz past me, a lot of the time if I'm on the inside lane, I kind of miss the junctions. Don't notice the junctions. And that's what I did last night. And when I sort of realised what I was doing, I was already on the filter lane for the M6. And I didn't want to be on the M6. So I only had to go down one junction and turn around. But as I got to the junction where I was going to turn around, there were roadworks going on. And I couldn't get back onto the M6 to get back to the M1. I had to go on a huge, great diversion to get back to the... It wasn't that big, but a reasonably big diversion to get around to the M1. So it probably added about 15 minutes onto my journey time or something like that. But... it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad. But it was just a bit of a... Oh, you know, you're in that slip road. And the thing is as well, I noticed at that point where I could have got myself famous, I could have got myself on police stop camera crash action thing because I was in the filter lane and I looked and realised what I'd done and I looked around me and there was one other car on the actual M1 going... But he was in the outside lane, so I had two lanes clear. There was nothing else on the filter lane, and I probably could have just got across the cross hatchings and back onto the M1 main carriageway without actually crashing. I probably could, you know, this all went and goes through your head in a flash of a second. Can I make it? If I yank the wheel now, can I make it? And I could have made it, but also I'm very aware that I could have made it probably. There's always a risk that I mightn't have made it. There's always a... But the biggest risk is that I would get spotted on the cameras. And like I would say, I would get a big fine and then I would be on a late night show on some obscure Sky channel at some point in the future. So, no, I did the sensible thing and I just stuck to where I was going and did the turnaround, which I was very pleased with myself for. I thought that was very reserved. God, I do drive slow these days, though. It just occurred to me yesterday, because I was late leaving yesterday and I could have done with making up some time, but I just don't feel comfortable driving fast anymore. I'm getting really old indeed. But there you go. Anyway, so yeah, good day out and yeah, it was really, really good to see everybody again. So waiting for the BT man. I'm a little bit worried about this BT man though, because it might not be a BT man, it could be a BT lady, of course. It could be a BT person, that's better. I got the email from BT saying, oh, your engineer is booked for Monday morning, and just, you know, press this button if you need to change your appointment and this kind of thing. And I obviously don't want to change the appointment, but then it said, how to prepare for your engineer's visit. And it says, your engineer will need access to your main phone socket. Okay, I can do that. If the engineer can run an extension cable of up to 30 feet. If this is to be done, then you need to clear away any furniture so that he can run it. Okay. And then it says... Any existing extension sockets will no longer be usable. Oh, said I. Because the problem is, my main BT socket, my main socket feed into the house, is in my office, which is sort of downstairs off the side of the hall. The socket that I use, because it's where all my media stuff needs to be plugged in, is... diagonally in the opposite corner of the house at the far end of the lounge. I don't use the main socket. My router is plugged in the lounge, and then all of my devices, my TV box, my WDTV, which is like an Apple TV sort of streamy type thing, but more versatile than Apple TV. So I've got those two plugged in. I've got my Xbox One plugged into there, and I've got my NAS drive plugged into there. So it's all like networked up. So that's my four ports taken, but they're all hardwired, and I want them all hardwired because I want the maximum speed out of them. I don't want to be doing things like that over Wi-Fi. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. I really don't know. I really don't know what he's going to suggest. I'm assuming that I can either ask him to put on another faceplate on my extension socket, which I guess I'm probably going to have to pay for, because for him to run an extension cable, it's going to be more than 30 feet, way more than 30 feet, in order to get to where I need to go. And also, the whole floor is all tiled and everything, so it would have to go around the door frames, unless I drilled a hole through a wall to feed it through or something. I don't really see how it could be done. So I'm a little bit worried. I don't know what to do. I think those home plug things might be a solution. I don't know. I'll tell you what. Let me stop speculating. Let me wait until the engineer's been and has offered me their advice on how best to get round this issue. But there you go. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting some whizzy fast broadband, because we're not doing too bad. We're getting sort of 10 to 12, 12 and a half megs maybe. On copper, which isn't bad at all really for copper. I certainly know people who are in a lot worse situation. But to just jump up, so I can't imagine, and it's reasonably fast now, so I can't imagine what it's going to be like running at seven times faster than that as a minimum really, so I'm quite excited. But more importantly, it's the uploads for me. Going from like 1 megabyte upload to 19 megabytes upload, that's pretty amazing. So, speedy uploads for YouTube and that kind of thing. On the subject of YouTube, incidentally, I listened to an audio boo day before, from Big Rick. Oh, one word. where he was talking about video games. And he'd seen an article, a news article, I think he said on Sky News, about professional video gamers and how much money they're making and how they're in quite a strict sort of regime and that kind of thing. And it just reminded me that a couple of weeks ago, there was a documentary on BBC iPlayer. It's not on iPlayer anymore, but it is still on YouTube. I have checked. It's still available on YouTube, and it's called Rise of the Cyber Athletes. Sounds like a sci-fi movie, doesn't it? Rise of the Cyber Athletes. And it's well worth checking out because it's exactly that subject that Rick was talking about. Now, it's a bit strange to watch because it was actually a programme that was done for BBC Radio 5 Live, but they filmed the programme as well. So it's kind of weird because they're radio presenters, not TV presenters, and they're kind of reading from scripts and stuff, which is a little bit strange, but it doesn't, and the resolution is not great because it wasn't done in sort of the usual sort of HD format or anything like that, but it's well worth a watch. And essentially what it does, it focuses on exactly what Rick was saying. It takes this this particular team, this esports team as it's known now, and essentially the idea is that they look at this team and the structure and how this sort of thing works, and then they've got sort of sports professionals in there. By that I mean support professionals, so doctors and psychologists and nutritionists and that kind of thing, sitting in the studio discussing, because the question that they're raising is, are these cyber athletes now becoming almost the same as real athletes, if you like, for want of a better description? Because gone are the days when these like gaming competitions, obviously they've been networked online multiplayer gaming competitions going for a lot of years, LAN competitions and stuff, where, you know, you get a load of PCs hooked up together and a load of guys playing, it's all projected onto a big screen and there's a bit of an audience watching. That's been going on for a lot of years. But just in the last sort of 2 years, really, the whole esports thing, as they're calling it, has really stepped up a gear. And it's become very, very, very big business. I mean, Rick quite rightly said that the video games industry is now bigger than the film industry, the movie industry. Which is true. That is a true fact. But to be honest, I think that possibly that's down to the fact that video games are very, very difficult to pirate these days. A lot of PC games can be copied, but usually, often now what happens is if you copy it, there's something in the code that will throw up a bug or a defect or something in the game at some point as you play through it. But certainly console games nowadays are virtually impossible to copy, to pirate, because the security software within the actual consoles itself won't allow copied discs to be played. So therefore, you need somebody to put a special microchip in the console to override that security. But then Microsoft and Sony, on their servers, as you connect your console to the internet, they can tell if your console has been tampered with. And they will, immediately suspend your account and disable your Xbox remotely a lot of the time. So it's very, very difficult to pirate console games, but it's very easy to pirate a DVD or download a cinema pre-release off the internet or something, you know. So I think that's a lot of it. It is still a very, very, very huge industry. And it's just growing all the time. And the whole thing with this esports thing is that there's a broadcasting platform called Twitch, which is similar to YouTube, but instead of uploading videos to YouTube, I know you can live stream on YouTube, but the Twitch is just predominantly a live streaming channel, a live streaming platform. So whether you're playing on a PC or a PS4 or an Xbox One, there's a Twitch app that you can download, and anybody, I could do it now. I could sit at my Xbox, open my Twitch app and hit broadcast, and I can broadcast my gaming to the world. And anybody who wants to can sit and watch me play a game. Now, for me to be doing it, that would be quite boring because A, I'm a hopeless gamer. So B, I'm not offering any advice to anybody or anything like that. And I'm not really a sort of personality as far as gaming goes. I'm not knowledgeable enough about it. But there are people who are really, really good at these games who are attracting fans on Twitch, and people will tune in to watch them play live. And also these guys quite often have a webcam or something on their face. So, and they'll interact through a chat window. They'll ask questions. They'll give advice. They'll just have a general chat with their fans, if you like. And it's becoming a very, very popular thing. I don't use Twitch all that much myself at the minute. I do now and again if it's a couple of people that I know, or I just want a little bit of a look at a new game before I buy it myself. Then sometimes I'll jump on Twitch and have a quick look. But that's taken over. That's now where the big money is going to be made. Whereas previously it's all been made on YouTube. As I've mentioned before in Audio Booze, there are guys who are uploading videos to YouTube of them playing games, of tutorials, of hints and tips and all this kind of stuff. And they are making, some of them guys are making serious, serious money. And I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars a year just for playing video games and uploading the footage to YouTube, which is pretty phenomenal. And Twitch is pretty much going to take over on that score, I think. Once they get the monetization right, I think that's going to be the big thing. It's going to be where it's at. But like YouTube, it's becoming saturated. There are so many people out there. But the cream always rises to the top, as it does with YouTube. You know, the popularity gets you up there and gets you more and more views. And Twitch is very similar. But they go back to the esports. This particular documentary focuses on a particular team, which are a British team. They're managed by a British guy. Honestly, these lads are... I don't think there were any girls on that team. There might be one, I think. But they're put up in an all-expenses-paid apartment in LA. Everything that they need is there. They get all their food provided. They've got a nutritionist, a dietitian to make sure that, they're eating healthily. They do an exercise regime. They've got psychologists. They've got all kinds of different... Just like a professional sportsman in the normal sense would have. And these guys are making some serious money. I mean, some of them are making over $1 million a year just from playing games competitively. And the competitions are getting more and more popular because they're being broadcast on Twitch. They're being broadcast on YouTube. I believe in America some small cable TV channels are broadcasting them live as well. But the actual physical audiences that these events are pulling in, they're pulling in like arenas. They're broadcasting all this gameplay footage on massive screens, and they're filling arenas with people who want to watch just the same as they want to watch a basketball game or a baseball game or a football game. They're filling arenas with people to watch this, which is why it's becoming what they're calling an e-sport. And then the question then is it a sport? Well, is darts a sport? Is snooker a sport? Because, yeah, they don't take a lot of physical activity, but they do take an awful lot of hand-eye coordination, a lot of precision, a lot of practice, and a lot of skill. Just because there isn't a great deal of physical exertion, does that mean that it's not a sport? And I know that debate's gone on for many years about darts and snooker and stuff, but it's the same thing. It's coming into that same bracket it's very competitive and it's a game. Yes, it might not involve putting shorts on and running around the track, but it's still a competitive environment. And the prize money is phenomenal. It's getting huge sponsorship. And it's an interesting thing to be watching, and it's kind of one of those things that if you've got the right sort of the wherewithal to do something with it, you could get into that now and you can make an awful lot of money out of it, because that's only going to get bigger. That's going to get so much bigger over the next couple of years. It's growing fast. It's been bubbling and bubbling for a long time, and now it's just erupted, and it's going off like a rocket now. So. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting. But yeah, check out that documentary. It's about 40 minutes long, I think. It's called Rise of the Cyber Athletes. Well worth a look. Well worth a look indeed. Just think if there's anything else, because I'm also aware it's a week, I think, since I last uploaded an audio boost. So I'm kind of trying to think, is there anything else that I wanted to comment on to catch up with? I don't think so. I think there was something earlier in the week that I wanted to pick up on. I can't remember. Oh, I've got hiccups again. I must stop walking around while I'm talking. I think I'll probably leave it at that. Otherwise, I'll end up going on a big, big waffly waffle, which is, normal for me, isn't it? Right. Anyway, guys, thanks very much for listening to me. And I hope you're all well and happy. Hope you've all had a good weekend. And I will speak to you all again very, very soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.